It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton. I'm talking with my buddy Jim Bovard. JimBovard.com. He's got a whole giant pile of books that he wrote. Really great ones, but the most important is also the latest. It's called Attention Deficit Democracy. And yes, he knows it's supposed to be a limited constitutional republic, not a democracy. Give me a break, dude. It's just a title, but the book, man, it's so good. In fact, that's part of it, is that instead of having a rule of law, we have the rule of the majority, which of course means the rule of whatever the 0.1% want the majority to think at any given time, such as, for example, let's fight a war in Afghanistan forever until it ends up leading to a nuclear war with the Russians and the Chinese, I guess. I don't know what. Jim, is there a limit on this thing at all? The value of the dollar, maybe?
I don't know what the, well, the I would hope that the limit would be the tolerance of the American people for all the BS that they've been fed over the last decade about this war.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm talking about other real things that could stop it.
Real things, yeah. That's the, okay, well, that's a hell of a qualifier. You know, I don't know. I mean, things certainly haven't gone very well there, and it seems that especially the last 4 to 5 years, as we ramp things up, things have gone down the tubes even faster. So, and yet, it's funny how few people in the mainstream media will just call this like it is. Instead, it's important to have American presence. It's important to stand up by our allies. It's important to live up to our word. You know, it's all the recycled mantras we heard from 1966 onwards in Vietnam. And there is no sign that the government in Kabul is becoming more trustworthy or less venal. There's no sign that average Afghans are all of a sudden starting to rally to support of this. And there's no sign that the people in the Obama administration have learned anything from the Bush administration except to tell bigger lies and to try to be more enthusiastic about it.
Yeah, well, that's about the sum of it. And, you know, one of the real problems is, you know, people like you and me, we always pay attention to foreign policy all the time because it's so important. But for regular people in America, most of the time, they don't pay attention to foreign policy at all, except when, say, for example, there's a giant push to lie us into war with Iraq, then everybody gets on board to cheerlead for a little while. As soon as the first couple of suicide bombings start taking out American soldiers, they take the flag sticker off the back of the car and quit paying attention. Rather than really changing their mind about it, they just tune out. And so here you and I have been paying just as much of attention as, you know, those people when it was at the height of all this being in the news. But now that it's not in the news, it's just not even on people's radar at all, I think. It's just kind of taken for granted, like the sky is blue and the grass is green, that there's a war in Afghanistan and there's going to keep being one.
Well, I think a lot of people were frustrated back in 2003 because I think back to some of the demonstrations I saw, there were huge outpourings of people in the street, and the media acted as if it never happened.
Yeah,
and it was almost as if, and it was the Washington Post reporters were saying that they had articles that showed that the administration's case was full of holes, but the editors simply would not print those articles because what's the point? We're going to war anyhow. Right. New York Times was even more overt. So. I think if the facts would get out there, that there'd be a lot more resistance to this kind of warmongering. On the other hand, I was amazed at how much support Herman Cain had for a while, at least until his bimbo problems brought him down. But the Cain's legacy is his line that what America needs is a leader, not a reader. Yeah. And here's someone who doesn't even know that China, well, you know, actually, they do have nuclear weapons.
Right. I mean, well, and Romney both just continually say, hey, look, Cain's line was, I'll have the experts tell me. Romney's is, I'll have the generals tell me. And that's it. That's his answer to everything, is whatever the generals want is what my policy will be.
Yeah, well, it's a very different understanding of democracy than what we had 50 years ago, because for a long time, the Pentagon generals and others who testified on Capitol Hill would not testify in uniform because that was seen as almost a conflict of the role of, I'm not quite sure how they characterize it. I think maybe Oliver North really helped change the pattern on that because North showed how easy it was to intimidate members of Congress by showing up with the uniforms, the rows of badges and medals and this, that, and the other. And ever since then, it's almost like watching congressmen react to the FBI chief testifying, because often there is just a long line of congressmen waiting to kiss the FBI chief's feet or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and I think it's even at the point now where David Petraeus has shown up in the White House in his combat fatigues.
In his combat fatigues.
Like, what are you doing in camouflage, man?
Well, maybe he's dodging the press corps.
Yeah, well, like they got a bunch of great questions for him. Hey, Petraeus, but how well did the surge work? Real well, right?
Well, what did the surge result in? That's the real question. And I'm amazed how easily it was for Petraeus and others to frame both Iraq and Afghanistan with these standards, with these so-called metrics that really don't measure the real impact and the long-term damage that the U.S. ramp-up of violence had.
Yep. Well, you know, it really is, I don't know, it's kind of amazing. Well, I don't know, there's a couple different amazings. One of them is that, as you said, the media pretends as though the Afghan government is anything but a front for the U.S. Army, that it has any real support or any future in Afghanistan without the American Army doing its fighting for it.
Well, it's interesting. Every now and then there's a really good story in the New York Times or sometimes even the Washington Post which lays out the absurdity. But those are rare, and 90% of the stories, it's taken the White House line or the Pentagon line or the State Department line. It's always great to see Hillary Clinton adding her love of truth to this mix. And so the vast majority of stories could have been written by, government press agents. But that was the same problem in Vietnam, the same trouble we had with Waco, the same trouble we've had with Kosovo. Every now and then, somebody would, some journalist or editor would sign off and let the truth come through, but it'd be so overwhelmed by the party line, the official line type stories.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like with anything, you know, you just repeat it and it starts sounding like there must be something to it, or else how come they keep saying it all the time? Everybody knows that kind of thing.
Well, it's just frustrating that so many, over the last 10 years, so many people have totally lost their bullshit reflex. Because I think that there was a limit to the lying the president could get away with in the Clinton administration, at least on some issues. Maybe Kosovo proved that wrong.
Yeah.
But since then, it's, you know, almost anything that the president, you know, pulls out of his hat, it's guaranteed to have all these people on Capitol Hill saying, "Yes, master," and standing up and applauding, and much of the press corps doing the same thing.
Yep. Well, and, you know, it's funny, too, because they really just use the same model over and over again. I'm glad you brought up Waco, because I like to point out how the Iraq attack, the second one especially, was just exactly the same thing as Waco, where you have your whole storyline. He's crazy, so you can't deal with him. He's bad to his own people, and he's got illegal weapons, and we got him surrounded. We're going to send in the Delta Force to kill him. That was the exact same script, and people fell for it again, when, you know, then they can just move right on, do the very same thing to Iran. You know, those Iranians, they're crazy. They believe in their religion so much that a white man can't negotiate with them.
Well, and
they have illegal weapons.
And the thing that's amazing is that there's almost never any pressure to hold the people that made the false statements liable. I mean, even morally liable, much less send them off to prison for the rest of their lives.
Well, maybe that's why we keep falling for it over and over again, because we never do have the accountability that might be, you know, that maybe is necessary to get people to get the lesson through their thick skull.
To a degree, yeah. I mean, part of this goes back to Gerald Ford's pardon for Nixon, and people forget that Ford did not pardon Nixon just for Watergate. He pardoned him for everything he did from January 20th, 1969, until the day that Nixon resigned. I mean, this is just a blanket absolution. And even if Nixon had been found guilty of genocide, Ford's pardon would have prevented him from being prosecuted.
Yeah.
And that's the attitude that a lot of Americans and a lot of the media have had to the presidents ever since. There's such a horror of any suggestion at prosecuting the people that made the torture policy in the George W. Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that would be un-American. I mean, that's the same way that they used to feel in Honduras about prosecuting their politician criminals.
Right. Well, you know, they just held this mock war crimes trial for Bush and Blair for aggression in the Iraq war, which is, you know, a symbolic thing. But Greenwald, I thought, very aptly noted, what a complete laughingstock joke of a pretended little thing for them to hold in the mind of, you know, the American media, say the Washington Post types or the political class in D.C. is like, oh, isn't that funny? The little Malaysians held their little war crimes trial for show, pat them on the head kind of thing. But it's so far from possible that the rule of law could ever be applied to leaders in America and Britain. They just cannot perceive it as anything but a joke. They could not perceive it as anything but a joke, Jim.
And part of the trouble is that much of the top media is bonded with these politicians. They go to the same parties. They have lunch in the White House, and they're ruined for life.
Yeah, go to pool parties at Joe Biden's. All right, thanks, everybody. That's Jim Bovard. Thanks, Jim. Everybody, that's Jim Bovard. FFF.org. Jim Bovard. On DVD for a limited time.